Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 3, reading from verse 7. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And then the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. When I was training for ordained ministry, it was at a college that was attached to a religious community, a group of about 20 monks who all came from different backgrounds, different walks of life, all had different experiences. Some of them could be fairly eccentric gentlemen, and some of them we would have taking or leading some of our theology classes. And when we were in our final year and we were getting ready to go out into our parishes where we would serve as curates, one of them decided to give us a piece of advice. He said, "If you're going to learn anything about life, then watch EastEnders." Now, I'm not a fan of soap operas. I've managed to do several years on this planet without having to watch soaps. I respect people who do, but they're really not for me. So dutifully, when I moved into the curate's house, for about 3 weeks, every evening, I would sit down and I would watch EastEnders. I did my curacy on one of the toughest council estates in Hull. It was a pretty difficult place to minister. And after this time of watching EastEnders, I just started thinking to myself, what on earth is this mindless pap, this drivel that I'm sitting here watching? I only need to look out of the window because actually real life is much more interesting. And I've never watched EastEnders since and have no desire to start again. But of course, soaps take different themes, don't they? And quite often there are stories of people upsetting others, and then that leads into stories of repentance and conversion. So imagine a scene in EastEnders. I couldn't tell you the names of any of the characters, I think the last time I watched it, Doc Cotton was still kicking, but I don't think that's anymore. But if you've got two people sitting in the kitchen in EastEnders, one of them is sitting there writing a shopping list, and the second person brings them a cup of coffee, but they manage to spill some of the coffee on the list. And this being a soap and not real life, of course, it all kicks off very, very quickly. How dare you spill coffee on my shopping list? The first person annoyed that their shopping list ruins. The second person probably goes on and blames them for having a table that's too cluttered in the first place. And then they should tell them, you go ahead and make your own coffee in the future. I'm not going to do it for you. But then rewrite the scene. The two characters are still there, and the coffee still gets spilt on the shopping list. But this time, the second person says sorry. They get a cloth, they wipe up the mess, and they make another cup of coffee. Both characters laugh off the incident, and harmony is restored. I don't think EastEnders quite often operates in that second of those two analogies. But repentance is a theme that runs throughout today's gospel. Repentance is not just about being sorry. Repentance is about change. It's about conversion. It's about a new way of seeing things, a new way of embracing life. And today, trying to think about joy, repentance doesn't necessarily come into it. How can we associate joy with repentance, we might ask? But actually saying sorry and actually meaning it when we do can be completely liberating. It's being set free. It's being turned around. It's being made right with the one that we might have upset. But of course, that could also apply to us when somebody else has hurt us, but they actually come up to us and say sorry for whatever it is that they've done or they've said. And again, the conversion can take place in the heart of the one who is upset. So that repentance and that feeling of being set right, the waters being smoothed and trouble eased, brings joy to both sides in the argument, a bit like the characters in that story. When they actually sat down and they worked it all out, they were able to laugh off the incidents. Looking at it from the angle of the person who's been aggrieved, it's much easier to forgive somebody who's admitted that they're actually in the wrong. And that forgiveness brings healing. So we get John the Baptist, again, another eccentric character, in the wilderness, wearing camel hair and eating just wild honey, coming, probably shouting, screaming, exhorting the crowds with this message of repentance. Turn around, he says. Repent. Convert yourselves. It sounds harsh. It sounds joyless. But true change and true repentance do bring joy. And of course, if we then take that message and we move it from John the Baptist and then go on to associate it with the ministry of Jesus, we again see that message of repentance and forgiveness, but this time it's being proclaimed by Jesus. Think about all those people that he'd met who'd wronged him or in whom he'd seen the wrong. Think of Zacchaeus, the little man. Here was a man whose life was suddenly turned completely around. And the change was real, because in the end, Zacchaeus was prepared to give half of what he had to the poor, and he was going to reimburse the people that he cheated. And how liberating would that have been for Zacchaeus, the joy that comes to his heart and also the unexpected joy in the hearts of the people who'd received back what was due to them. So we're invited today to think of people that we may need to say sorry to. And why not try and do something about that this week and discover that liberating sense of feeling. It's not just a good feeling of joy. It's not just like a drink that might make us happy. Forgiveness requires some work. Forgiveness means we have to learn to detach ourselves from whatever it is that's holding us back from that encounter with Jesus. So this whole season of Advent is all about waiting expectation, but there's also a hidden sense of joy in there. So let's share that joy. Let's share what we have as we wait for the one who's coming. And while we wait, shall we make the time when we're waiting for Jesus the most joyful experience of our lives by detaching ourselves back from whatever holds us back and instead choosing to be a people who are joyful in Jesus. The church invites us to pray and reflect on what gives us joy other than pouring ourselves out for the needy. So what's holding us back in this Advent season? How can we happily empty ourselves in order to receive Jesus? How would we feel if we found that the reluctance to share what we have would impact the coming of Jesus into the life of somebody who's truly in need? So may this season of waiting and giving be our greatest joy of emptying ourselves in order to receive Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.